This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. We like to feature things that are going on in the community you don't want to miss. This event is Love Notes from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Taichi Fukumura has joined us. Tell us a little bit about this specific performance.
Thanks for having me, Randy. It's so nice to chat with you and to share with everybody about this wonderful concert coming up, Love Notes. It's on Valentine's weekend, so how perfect is that? All three pieces are related to this theme. First of all, we're starting off with three dance episodes from On the Town by Leonard Bernstein. This is about three sailors who have a day off and they're trying to pursue romance in New York City. It has all that dazzle and dizzy, quiet, intimate moments, saxophone, you know, all that fun stuff. But speaking of saxophone, this program features two saxophone guest artists, because we have a double concerto for two saxophones with orchestra by Paul Carr. Our guest artists are Valentin Kovalev and Iwin. I think she used to be Iwin Jang, but it looks like she might be Iwin Kovalev now. Back there, a married couple, they have a very cute daughter and they have another one on them. They're both fantastic soloists who go around and travel and play with different places. They also both play in multiple saxophone ensembles. And then, of course, sometimes they travel as a duet. That is the case this time. I believe this is the only concerto for two saxophones and orchestra that exists, actually. It's really lovely to have them with us in this opportunity.
Good on Valentine's Day to have a couple performing.
It's so sweet. Yeah. And his name is Valentin. I didn't even notice that part until our executive director, Trevor, pointed it out. I was like, oh, how perfect is that?
This is a rare two saxophone concerto piece.
Yeah. There's a bunch of saxophone concertos, but one for two of them together, I haven't seen. The reason I know that is I wanted to work with these two and was curious, is there anything out there? And this is what we found. And it's actually a very joyful, sweet piece.
This is coming up February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day in Springfield. Or if you, for some reason, need to work it out for the 14th, it's up in Bloomington that you can go see this performance. Any specific recommendations for folks who are celebrating Valentine's Day and how they should approach this performance? Date night, you know, are there going to be roses available for somebody who's a little late in getting their act together for the date?
The concert itself is going to be such a lovely journey to bring somebody along and to enjoy so much different music. I mean, the Bernstein from the musical, it's a lot of great energy. But of course, in the second half, it's going to be one of the best symphonies written for orchestra by Tchaikovsky. It's Symphony Number 5. One of the ideas behind this programming is we wanted to make sure this is an event where people who love going to the symphony orchestra have a great time, but people who may have never been will still also have a fantastic evening. You have the fun and the dazzle, but also Tchaikovsky gives us some of the most heartwarming, in-depth music in the symphonic repertoire, and truly, truly romantic.
With the UIS Performing Arts Center closed, where is this performance going to be at?
This whole season, we found a new temporary home of ours, a musical home. It's going to be at the First United Methodist Church. We've been enjoying it. First of all, there are lots of restaurants nearby. So if people are looking to make a date night, they could go across the street and have some really nice dinner before the concert. There's also good parking, which is always a plus. But also the venue works out very nicely for us. Not only does the orchestra physically fit on stage well, but acoustically, we've very much been enjoying this space this season. It's one of those churches where it does give the sound a nice little blossom. It adds a little warmth, but at the same time, it still leaves enough clarity that you can actually enjoy and hear everything that's going on the stage.
It's been amazing in the past, some of the different things you've had in churches. You can really get a lovely sound out of that. There aren't a whole lot of places like the Performing Arts Center that work well for a larger orchestra. I'm glad you're able to find a different location. Has that been good? Are people figuring it out and knowing where to go this season as far as the performances go?
I think so. There's a kind of energy among the audiences too. The concerts we've had there so far, people are really enjoying both the acoustics, but also that feeling that we're in the same room together. Somehow when it's a big auditorium, sometimes it can feel a little bit far away even. Even the furthest seats in the church, it does feel slightly more intimate than our typical full symphonic concert series.
And intimate's good on Valentine's Day.
Yes, very. So. You would hope.
Good, right. If somebody's going up to Bloomington instead of Springfield on the 13th, Bloomington on the 14th, where is the performance in Bloomington?
It's our typical venue at ISU, and that's also a very wonderful, warm venue. Either of these locations, it would be a really great time.
In general, how are things going for the symphony so far this season?
It's really, really fantastic. This is our second season together with me as music director. Every concert is the best we've had so far. And that is a really exciting time for any symphony orchestra. I feel very happy and excited to be part of the Illinois Symphony at this timing, when there's such enthusiasm and growth going on among the musicians, of course, our audiences. There's a lot of new people trying out the symphony orchestra and starting to come back. It's a really, really nice time, if you haven't heard us yet, to come check it out.
You really want things to grow and to adjust with the different times. Post-pandemic, so many folks have had a difficult time attracting folks to events. To hear that it's building and coming back is great.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because pandemic has both been a challenge and actually opened up a new opportunity for us. Because post-pandemic, a lot of people had life changes. Sometimes they moved closer to family or even had a switching career. Then we had the music director transition, where there was a couple years search. So there was no music director. So by the time I came in, there were quite a few positions open in the orchestra, some of them key leadership positions. Within this first year and a half with the ISO, I've hired 24 new people so far, which for a group of 70 or so musicians, talk about group dynamics or teamwork, that's a lot of people. We've been attracting some tremendously talented, exciting musicians. That's another factor why this orchestra has been growing. The mix of both the long-term dedicated members who have played with us for a long time and some new exciting folks joining us.
New blood is good, but maybe not a third of the orchestra or so at a time, right?
It hasn't all happened at once. We've had constant auditions going on. Every new person, usually they have prior commitments, so they don't necessarily join us right away. As we go from concert to concert, we've been having a few new people joining, and that's been a really nice way to introduce new people.
We've talked about this in the past on different interviews with the ISO on the air, but for those who are just tuning in and aren't that familiar, it is a professional orchestra, and how does that work out? Who can be in the orchestra? You talked about auditions and hiring people, but how does the orchestra get formed?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. It is a fully professional orchestra. Every member in the Illinois Symphony are professional musicians. What that means is we do national searches for every chair that you see in the orchestra. Somebody won an audition to sit in that chair. This happens through applications, resumes. After that, people fly in, and then we have multiple rounds of auditions for every individual chair. All of this happens behind a screen. So we actually, me along with a panel of musicians who are the audition committee, we have no idea who's behind the screen. We don't know their names. We don't know their genders. We're not looking at the resume as we listen. It's purely based on their musical performance across the multiple rounds. We try to get to know them as best as we can. Ultimately, we make a decision on, we think this is the best performing musician and the one that we feel will fit well into the orchestra. Once we make that decision to say, okay, we're offering this position, then we find out, oh, it's this person, or, oh, this is a new person that we don't know. And either way, it's a very exciting moment to when the screen comes down and we get to know each other from there on.
Quite a few of the members of the orchestra are regionally based or local or somewhere in central Illinois. But then what you're saying is there are some who fly in just for these performances.
That's right. And in fact, we're geographically very lucky because there's huge music freelancing cities in very travelable distances. So we have Chicago, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Kansas City, even Louisville. These are areas where a lot of our musicians come from, as well as local musicians.
So they might be a part of several different orchestras?
Oh, a lot of these freelance musicians play in many different orchestras. That's the way they make things work, because we are a fully professional but not a full-time orchestra. So that means all of our musicians go and play with other ensembles as well.
did these musicians basically make a living strictly off of this, or do they have to have day jobs like so many musicians?
Most of them are strictly professional musicians, so they make it happen by doing lots of different positions with different places. Some of them also teach on the side. That's one of those things that's like mutually feeding off. Teaching makes you a better musician. Being an active professional musician makes you a better teacher. A rigorous performing career plus some of them also teaching.
Beth Wakefield is also with us. Beth, any thoughts or comments?
Something that Tai Chi talked about a little bit on the Bernstein piece. Some of your listeners will probably really appreciate that it's actually from an iconic movie, Gene Kelly, Frank Sinatra. So you open up this concert with something very iconic and known. The saxophone concerto is just, I mean, it's amazing. It's sultry, it's rhythmic. It'll be a great evening out for whether you're a couple or if you're looking for a Galentine's event. I don't know if that's still a thing, but
sure is, yeah.
Come one, come all. And this actual concert is a really great way to get introduced to classical music. Like, if you don't know anything, that's okay. If you don't know any of the words that Tai Chi has used today, like Tchaikovsky, or it's okay. We don't mind. All we ask is that you come and be ready for an experience, because Tai Chi, along with the orchestra, they will take you on an amazing musical journey that night. And it's powerful, inspiring, when all of the world around you is maybe chaotic from work to everything that's going on. This is a great way to escape and have a wonderful experience. What's amazing about an orchestra experience is that it's a collective experience, but also it's so unique and individual to you, because you're the one who's sitting in that moment and interpreting that experience. And yet you get to have it with these amazing musicians on stage. That's probably what I would share.
I've taken my daughter when she was a little younger. It's definitely an all ages experience. And you can see that in the audience too. There are students who are taking music themselves who are going to check it out, and there are aficionados, long time, who are retirees or whatever, who want to enjoy a performance. So this is a great opportunity. February 13th
at First United Methodist Church in Springfield, February 14th at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts. Tickets start at $30.
We appreciate Tai Chi Fukumura and Beth Wakefield for joining us from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Last thoughts?
Well, I couldn't have said it better than what Beth just said. Something I'll add as a performer is we feel the presence of the audience. How we perform from night to night varies. There's a lot of spontaneous moments, and we actually very much feel when an audience is responding. You know, those moments when a large number of people are in a room and there's that real quiet, when people are really focusing in, those are some magical moments. We feel that on the stage. It does affect how we perform, so it really is a two-way street experience. We can't wait to see you all there.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Community Voices. Again, the Illinois Symphony Orchestra performing February 13th in Springfield and February 14th in Bloomington with Love Notes. You can find more at nprillinois.org.